Blog Talk Radio.
Bonsoir and good evening, ladies and gentlemen, mesdames et messieurs. It is Sunday, the 10th day of March in the year 2019, and you're now listening to Playtime with Sandra Radio. I'm your hostess, adult media publisher Sandra London of livinggrind.com. The song you just heard at the top of the hour is called What to Say by Jacopo. The call-in number, which is available during the live show this evening, is 858-815-2333. Once again, 858-815-2333. And here, attention. If you have not changed your clocks, remember we're springing forward, so you need to, jump up a little bit. But yeah, go ahead and do that if you haven't already. It will help you tremendously, I promise. In the meanwhile, here is a song by a Kemaro called VIP.
Téléphone sonne, qui c'est mon assistant? Qui veut savoir pour la soirée?
haute couture en toutes tes mains. Signer ton ego, mais à l'ancienne, la forme. Si tu vas de VIP, je prépare le champagne, chocolat en montagne, je décolle d'ici. Je saute dans un full sous top class, tout est en bonne place pour mes people, je tape la grande classe. Je pose pour les flashs à l'entrée, signe quelques papiers. Je pose un cas dans le creux d'un décolleté. Alors on peut commencer, demoiselle, voulez-vous m'accompagner? Viens me rejoindre au VIP, où les femmes sont belles en sous-vêtements dentés et leur corps qui brille. VIP, que les femmes sont belles quand elles dansent en tandem et leur corps qui brille. VIP, si les femmes sont belles, qu'elles dansent à l'ancienne, c'est plus belle et bien au VIP. Dans le VIP, tout se passe comme je veux et c'est parfait. Tout le monde dans la place est en feu et c'est carré. Let's pop the Chris and let's pop it again. Et puisque le son est bon et que les femmes sont belles, si les songes de jour deviennent diables la nuit, c'est que les histoires d'un jour sont normales aujourd'hui. Lady dance, bouge dans tous les sens. À l'affût des regards, Lady s'en fout de ce que les gens pensent. On est là pour ça, pour les autres, c'est un show live. Entre toi et moi, personne d'autre n'a la même drive. Jack, XO et un bon petit cubain, c'est la good life. Et on verra demain. Viens me rejoindre au VIP, où les femmes sont belles en sous-vêtements dentés et leur corps qui brille. VIP, que les femmes sont belles quand elles dansent en tandem et leur corps qui brille. VIP, si les femmes sont belles qu'elles dansent à l'ancienne, c'est qui belle et bien au VIP. Et puisque le son est bon et que les femmes sont belles, vas-y lève ton verre si tu le fais à l'ancienne. Et puisque le son est bon et que les femmes sont belles, lève mon verre à ma santé, à la tienne. Et puisque le son est bon et que les femmes sont belles, vas-y lève ton verre si tu le fais à l'ancienne. Et puisque le son est bon et que les femmes sont belles, viens me rejoindre au VIP, où les femmes sont belles en sous-vêtements dentés et leur corps qui brille. VIP, que les femmes sont belles quand elles dansent en tandem.
Taken back by you. Oh, I can recall
And we're back. You're listening to Playtime with Sandra Radio, and I'm your hostess, Sandra London of livinggrind.com. You just heard a whole gaggle of songs. Here we are. Let me list them for you briefly. You heard VIP by Kemaro, Underwater by Kuna, Yeah Baby by Elliot Brown, My Pillow and Me by Lizzie Miles, and Tiger of a Tale by Mr. and Mrs. Smith. The call-in number is 858-815-2333. Once again, 858-815-2333. I'll give you a song here in a second. Let's do... Hold on. Jeez. I don't know which one right now. Sorry, y'all. Hold on. Let's do Tonight by Mercury and the Arch. Here you are.
God don't like me, strike me where I stand. Cause the money in your wallet don't make the man. Cause the pain that you swallow never part the plan. Middle finger to tomorrow, cause here I am, here I remain. Hoping that the truth doesn't hurt, for the moment just ease the pain. Embrace the rain, knowing that no matter how hard you try, we all miss the train. Maybe that's the way life's supposed to be. Living to a breath with death standing close to me. So short of the man that I hope to be. Tugging on the path, cause I'm trying to catch the ghost of me. Too far to see, too high to crash. I'm searching for a purpose in an empty class. I'm searching for a virgin, not a piece of ass. While I'm sipping on the bourbon from the devil's flat.
I'm telling you, baby, that I'm caught in the middle between the life that you gave me and the life behind the pistol. Don't you worry about tomorrow, cause tonight is a party. And we'd rather fall in love with ourselves than somebody.
Perfection, perfection. Anything that you want to mention. Anything for a false impression. Like, hey, I'm looking for a woman to invest in. Call me crazy, might be faded often. Baby, want it, take it, falling lately. No one makes it where you made me get you naked. Make a statement, let's crack the pavement. With a plan to manifold fate, we're changing from the gutter to greatness. Never stay complacent, let's own the night. Let's take what's taken. I'm contemplating, sick of waiting. Sick of sleeping while the dreams awaken. I swear I'm leaving if nothing changes. Embrace the weekend, it's tonight's amazing.
I'm telling you, baby, that I'm caught in the middle between the life that you gave me and the life behind the pistol. Don't you worry about tomorrow, cause tonight is a party. We'd rather fall in love with ourselves than somebody.
Man, you are not no hardcore gangbanging motherfucker. You aren't even in the city. You don't even live around here. You live in a $300,000 house. Your mama is a motherfucking lawyer. Your daddy's a doctor. What the... Man, fuck it. This one's for you, dog. I'm a hardcore nigga, got my cul-de-sac on lockdown.
Yeah.
You don't believe me? Ask my mom, she lives a block down.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a small town, but I rep the Shy City. I know my other shitty line friends are with me, and they hard as me. It ain't they hard to see that we individually as hard as a bitch can be. Now, I ain't saying I'm a bitch, I'm just a bitch-ass wigger. And if you called me a bitch, I did with the quickness, nigga.
Do I rep any gang all day?
All day. I don't even know their colors, but they miles away. And I'm safe because I'm inside of my own backyard. And my mama called the cops if niggas coming at
you.
The only time I get laid is because of
Ruffling.
And I be causing gang violence at the soup
kitchen.
And the retirement home where all the OGs be. Last week I broke a nigga's knee for swinging a cane at me.
What?
I'm a hardcore motherfucking suburban gangster. I'm straight gangster, homie. Fucking gangster.
Hardcore motherfucking suburban gangster.
Get it right, bitch. Motherfucker.
I'm a hardcore motherfucking suburban gangster.
I'm straight motherfucking
hood.
Hardcore motherfucking suburban gangster.
Get the fuck up on my cul-de-sac.
Dog, I'm always in the streets, but my curfew's 9:30. Until then, I'm killing beats and trying to get my wang dirty. But it's kinda hard when them hoes think you a bitch or something. What I gotta do to get them?
Sucker, waste the dick or something.
I walk through the mall and check a girl out when you ain't looking.
Hey.
For me, to be honest, if you notice, then I'd stop booking. Left, I happen to have a ton of faggots from my crew.
Rolling
deep, shunning every scrap of heat. You know how we do.
They call me the hardest artist. I started brewing weeks ago.
I know it sounds retarded, but my homie said he teach me slow.
I thug shit and I pretend that it's true. But if I met a real thug, I wouldn't know what to do.
Hopefully I don't get popped for having my hat cocked. Wait a minute, where am I tweaking? Duh, my dad's a cop.
So I'm protected, respected, only rejected by bitches. I get neglected, deflected, can't come correct with these bitches.
But I'm a hardcore motherfucking suburban gangster.
I'm straight gangster, homie, fucking gangster.
Hardcore motherfucking suburban gangster.
Get it right, bitch, motherfucker.
I'm a hardcore motherfucking suburban gangster.
I'm straight motherfucking
hood.
Hardcore motherfucking suburban gangster.
Get the fuck up on my cul-de-sac.
Has old father time run out on mother nature? 6 billion kids can't dry her tears with all the forest paper. Big business might have held her down, but everybody's afraid to. She was perfect. Has old father time run out on mother nature? 6 billion kids can't dry her tears with all the forest paper. Big business might have held her down, but everybody's raped her. Yeah, we've all got problems, maybe nature's mental health is fucked. She's cast herself in self-disgust to help herself destruct. She's passed the buck and threw a guy a suicide. See, every single tiny fragment of her precious wealth is plucked. Wandered on and on, we never stop to ponder long upon the future. What'll happen when it's gone? The drop is what I'm calling the drop. Needed a name after the drop, and all the falling life won't be the same. Cast and plot can't continue without scenery or stage. We're pretty shit at dialogue, failure to engage. Engaging, have we reached and passed the point of no return with no concern? We peaked as half the oil been wholly burned. They say to me to wait and see, cause they're on top of it. Smell a proper crock of shit, it's blatantly the opposite. The drop will hit, topple everything down. Never been down so low, Earth Goddess only knows endeavor. And now to erase craze, many, many ways. Anybody else to the end of days, blaze, jays, glaze. When I'm in a haze, my phrase, praise. Then I'm gonna say, ready for the drop, what, ready or not? I'm saying, everybody stop, rock steady and chop. Good to go, my grab, whatever you got. Gonna run over the hills, chop, sever the knot. And it's a knot, discordian, I'm ordering this audience to draw your sword and sword a core before the end of order is or drop. Drop, I'm calling it. Drop, I'm calling it. The drop's what I'm calling it. Drop needed a name after the drop. And all the falling life won't be the same. Cast and plot can't continue without scenery or stage. And we're pretty shit at dialogue. Failure past the point of no return with no concern. We peaked just half the oil been wholly burned. They say to me to wait and see, cause they're on top of it. Smell a proper crock of shit. Blatantly the opposite, the drop will hit. Topple everything down, never been down. So Lord Goddess only knows and therefore renowned. To erase, praise, many, many ways. Anybody else to the end of days, blaze, jays, glaze. When I'm in a haze, my phrase, praise. When I'm in a say, ready for the drop, what, ready enough. Saying everybody stop, rock steady and shock. You could be going mad, grab what you got. Gonna run over the hills, chop sick of the knock. Listen up, the Scordian, the Maud. This audience, the joy, the sword and sword. Before the end of the war, the rhythm of rock. The Scordian, the Maud. Should have been freezing. Gotta get a stop cut, chopped up treason. Where are the bees and what is the reason? Us thus won't be pleasing. No joke when you're choking, sneezing. Plus dust in your throat, you're wheezing. Try telling folk but they won't believe. Ready for the drop, what, ready or not? Saying everybody stop, rock steady and shock. You could be going mad, grab whatever you got. Gonna run over the hills, chop center the knock. Gonna go mad, grab whatever you got. I'm gonna run him for the hills, chop, sever the knot.
Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde by Robert Louis Stevenson. Chapter 2, Search for Mr. Hyde. Recorded by Sandra London of livinggrind.com. That evening, Mr. Ederson came home to his bachelor house in somber spirits and sat down to dinner without relish. It was his custom of a Sunday, when this meal was over, to sit close by the fire, a volume of some dry divinity on his reading desk, until the clock of the neighboring church rang out the hour of 12, when he would go soberly and gratefully to bed. On this night, however, as soon as the cloth was taken away, he took up a candle and went into his business room. There he opened his safe, took from the most private part of it a document endorsed on the envelope as Dr. Jekyll's will, and sat down with a clouded brow to study its contents. The will was holograph for Mr. Ederson, though he took charge of it now that it was made, had refused to lend the least assistance in the making of it. It provided not only that, in case of the decease of Henry Jekyll, M.D., D.C.L., LL.D., F.R.S., etc., all his possessions were to pass into the hands of his friend and benefactor, Edward Hyde. But that in case of Dr. Jekyll's disappearance or unexplained absence for any period exceeding 3 calendar months, the said Edward Hyde should step into the said Henry Jekyll's shoes without further delay and free from any burden or obligation beyond the payment of a few small sums to the members of the doctor's household. This document had long been the lawyer's eyesore. It offended him, both as a lawyer and as a lover of the sane and customary sides of life, to whom the fanciful was the immodest. And hitherto, it was his ignorance of Mr. Hyde that had swelled his indignation. Now, by a sudden turn, it was his knowledge. It was already bad enough when the name was but a name of which he could learn no more. It was worse when it began to be clothed upon with detestable attributes, and out of the shifting, insubstantial mists that had so long baffled his eye, there leaped up the sudden, definite presentment of a fiend. "I thought it was madness," he said, as he replaced the obnoxious paper in the safe. "And now I begin to say it is disgrace." With that, he blew out his candle, put on a greatcoat, and set forth in the direction of Cavendish Square, that citadel of medicine, where his friend, the great Dr. Lanyon, had his house and received his overcrowding patient. If anyone knows, it will be Lanyon, he had thought. The solemn butler knew and welcomed him. He was subjected to no stage of delay, but ushered direct from the door to the dining room where Dr. Lanyon sat alone over his wine. This was a hearty, healthy, dapper, red-faced gentleman with a shock of hair, prematurely white, and a boisterous and decided manner. At sight of Mr. Utterson, he sprang up from his chair and welcomed him with both hands. The geniality, as was the way of the man, was somewhat theatrical to the eye, but it reposed on genuine feeling. For these two were old friends, old maids, both at school and college, both thorough respecters of themselves and of each other, and what does not always follow, men who thoroughly enjoyed each other's company. After a little rambling talk, the lawyer led up to the subject which so disagreeably preoccupied his mind. "I suppose, Lanyon," said he, "you and I must be the two oldest friends at Henry Jekyll's." "I wish the friends were younger," chuckled Dr. Lanyon, "but I suppose we are. And what of that? I see little of them now." "Indeed," said Utterson, "I thought you had a bond of common interest." "We had," was the reply, "but it is more than 10 years since Henry Jekyll became too fanciful for me. He began to go wrong in mind, and though, of course, I continue to take an interest in him for old sake's sake, as they say, I see, and I have seen, devilish little of the man. Such unscientific balderdash," added the doctor, flushing suddenly purple, "what of a strange Damon and Pythias." The full spirit of temper was somewhat of a relief to Mr. Utterson. They've only differed on some point of science, he thought, and being a man of no scientific passions, except in the matter of conveyancing, he even added, "it is nothing worse than that." He gave his friend a few seconds to recover his composure, and then approached the question he had come to put. "Did you ever come across the protégés, Hughes? One Hyde?" he asked. "Hyde?" repeated Lanyon. "No, never heard of him since my time." That was the amount of information that the lawyer carried back with him to the great dark bed on which he tossed to and fro until the small hours of the morning began to grow large. It was a night of little ease to his toiling mind, toiling in mere darkness and besieged by questions. 6 o'clock stuck on the bells of the church that was so conveniently near to Mr. Utterson's dwelling, and still he was digging at the problem. Hitherto it had touched him on the intellectual side alone, but now his imagination also was engaged, or rather enslaved, and as he lay and tossed in the gross darkness of the night and the curtained morning, Mr. Enfield's tale went by before his mind in a scroll of lighted pictures. He would be aware of the great field of lamps of the nocturnal city, then of the figure of a man walking swiftly, then of a child running from the doctors, and then these met, and that human juggernaut trod the child down and passed on regardless of her screams. Or else he would see a room in a rich house where his friend lay asleep, dreaming and smiling at his dreams, and the door of that room would be opened, the curtains of the bed plucked apart, the sleeper recalled, and lo, there would stand by his side a figure to whom power was given, and even at that dead hour he must rise and do its bidding. The figure in these two phases haunted the lawyer all night, and if at any time he dozed over, it was but to see it glide more stealthily through sleeping houses, or move the more swiftly, and still the more swiftly, even to dizziness, through wider labyrinths of lamp-lighted city. At every street corner, crush a child and leave her screaming. And still the figure had no face by which he might know it. Even in his dreams, it had no face, or one that baffled him and melted before his eyes. And thus it was that there sprang up and grew apace in the lawyer's mind a singularly strong, almost an inordinate, curiosity to behold the features of the real Mr. Hyde, if he could but once set eyes on him. Away, as was the habit of mysterious things when well examined. He might see a reason for his friend's strange preference or bondage, call it which you please, and even for the startling clause of the will. At least it would be a face worth seeing, the face of a man who is without bowels of mercy, a face which had but to show itself to raise up in the mind of the unimpressionable Enfield a spirit of enduring hatred. From that time forward, Mr. Utterson began to haunt the door and the by street of shops. In the morning before office hours, at noon when business was plenty and at times scarce, at night under the face of the fogged city moon, by all lights and at all hours of solitude or concourse, the lawyer was to be found on his chosen post. If he be Mr. Hyde, he thought, I should be Mr. Seek. And at last his patience was rewarded. It was a fine, dry night, frost in the air, the streets as clean as a ballroom floor, the lamps, unshaken by any wind, drawing a regular pattern of light and shadow. By 10 o'clock, when the shops were closed, the by street was very solitary, and in spite of the low growl of London from all around, very silent. Small sounds carried far. Domestic sounds out of the houses were clearly audible on either side of the roadway, and the rumor of the approach of any passenger preceded him by a long time. Mr. Utterson had been some minutes at his post when he was aware of an odd light footstep drawing near. In the course of his nightly patrols, he had long grown accustomed to the quaint effect with which the footfalls of a single person, while he was still a great way off, suddenly spring out distinct from the vast hum and clatter of the city. Yet his attention had never been before so sharply and decisively arrested, and it was with a strong, superstitious prevision of success that he withdrew into the entry of the court. The steps drew swiftly nearer and swelled out suddenly louder as they turned the end of the street. The lawyer, looking forth from the entry, could soon see what manner of man he had to deal with. He was small and very, very plainly dressed, and the look of him, even at that distance, went somehow strongly against the watcher's inclination. But he made straight for the door, crossing the roadway to save time, and as he came, he drew a key from his pocket, like one approaching home. Mr. Utterson stepped out and touched him on the shoulder as he passed. Mr. Hyde, I think. Mr. Hyde shrank back with a hissing intake of the breath, but his fear was only momentary, and though he did not look the lawyer in the face, he answered coolly enough, That's my name. What do you want? I see you are going in, returned the lawyer. I am an old friend of Dr. Jekyll's, Mr. Utterson of Gaunt Street, and meeting you so conveniently, I thought you might admit me. You will not find Dr. Jekyll. He is from home, replied Mr. Hyde, blowing in the key, and then suddenly, but still without looking up, How did you know me? He asked. On your side, said Mr. Utterson. Will you do me a favor? With pleasure, replied the other. What shall it be? Will you let me see your face? Asked the lawyer. Mr. Hyde appeared to hesitate, and then, as if upon some sudden reflection, fronted about with an air of defiance, and the pair stared at each other pretty fixedly for a few seconds. Now I shall know you again, said Mr. Utterson. It may be useful. Yes, returned Mr. Hyde. It is as well, we admit, and apropos, you should have my address. And he gave a number of a street in Soho. Good God, thought Mr. Utterson, can he, too, have been thinking of the boo? But he kept his feelings to himself and only grunted an acknowledgement of the address. And now, said the other, how did you know me? By description, was the reply. Whose description? We have common friends, said Mr. Utterson. Common friends, echoed Mr. Hyde. A little hoarsely, who are they? Jekyll, for instance, said the lawyer. He never told you, cried Mr. Hyde with a flush of anger. I did not think you would have lied. Come, said Mr. Ederson, that is not fitting language. The other snarled aloud into a savage laugh, and the next moment, with extraordinary quickness, he had unlocked the door and disappeared into the house. The lawyer stood a while when Mr. Hyde had left him, the picture of disquietude. Then he began slowly to mount the street, pausing every step or two and putting his hand to his brow like a man in mental perplexity. The problem he was thus debating as he walked was one of a class that is rarely solved. Mr. Hyde was pale and dwarfish. He gave an impression of deformity without any nameable malformation. He had a displeasing smile. He had borne himself to the lawyer with a sort of murderous mixture of timidity and boldness, and he spoke with a husky, whispering, and somewhat broken voice. All these were points against him, but not all of these together could explain the hitherto unknown disgust, loathing, and fear with which Mr. Ederson regarded him. There must be something else, said the perplexed gentleman. There's something more, if I could find a name for it. God bless me, the man seems wholly human. Something troglodytic, shall we say? Or can it be the old story of Dr. Fell? Or is it the mere variance of a foul soul that thus transpires through and transfigures its clay continents? The last, I think, for, oh, my poor old hairy Jekyll, if ever I read Satan's signature upon a face, it is on that of your new friend. Round the corner from the by street, there was a square of ancient, handsome houses, now for the most part decayed from their high estate, and let in flats and chambers to all sorts and conditions of men, map engravers, architects, shady lawyers, and the agents of obscure enterprises. One house, however, second from the corner, was still occupied entire. And at the door of this, which wore a great air of wealth and comfort, though it was now plunged in darkness except for the fanlight, Mr. Ederson stopped and knocked. A well-dressed, elderly servant opened the door. Is Dr. Jekyll at home, Poole? Asked the lawyer. I will see, Mr. Ederson, said Poole, admitting the visitor, as he spoke into a large, low-roofed, comfortable hall paved with flags, warmed after the fashion of a country house by a bright, open fire and furnished with costly cabinets of oak. Will you wait here by the fire, sir, or shall I give you a light in the dining room? Here, thank you, said the lawyer, and he drew near and leaned on the tall fender. This hall, in which he was now left alone, was a pet fancy of his friend the doctor's, and Ederson himself was wont to speak of it as the pleasantest room in London. But tonight there was a shudder in his blood. The face of Hyde sat heavy on his memory. He felt, what was rare with him, a nausea and distaste of life, and in the gloom of his spirits, he seemed to read a menace in the flickering of the firelight on the polished cabinets and the uneasy starting of the shadow on the roof. He was ashamed of his relief when Poole presently returned to announce that Dr. Jekyll was gone out. I saw Mr. Hyde go in by the old dissecting room, Poole, he said. Is that right, when Dr. Jekyll is from home? Quite right, Mr. Ederson, sir, replied the servant. Mr. Hyde has a key. Your master seems to repose a great deal of trust in that young man, Poole, resumed the other, musingly. Yes, sir, he does indeed, said Poole. We have all orders to obey him. I do not think I ever met Mr. Hyde, asked Ederson. Oh, dear, no, sir. He never dines here, replied the butler. Indeed, we see very little of him on this side of the house. He mostly comes and goes by the laboratory. Well, good night, Poole. Good night, Mr. Ederson. And the lawyer set out homeward with a very heavy heart. Poor Harry Jekyll, he thought. My mind misgives me. He is in deep waters. He was wild when he was young, a long while ago to be sure, but in the law of God, there's no statute of limitations. It must be that the ghost of some old sin, the cancer of some concealed disgrace, punishment coming, Pedro Claudio, years after memory is forgotten and self-love condoned assault. And the lawyer, scared by the thoughts, brooded a while on his own past, groping in all the corners of memory, lest by chance some jack-in-the-box of an old iniquity should leap to light there. His past was fairly blameless. Few men could read the rolls of their life with less apprehension. Yet he was humbled to the dust by the many ill things he had done, and raised up again into a sober and fearful gratitude by the many he had come so near to doing, yet avoided. And then by a return on his former subject, he conceived a spark of hope. This Master Hyde, if he was studied, thought he, must have secrets of his own, black secrets, by the look of them, secrets compared to which poor Jekyll's worst would be like sunshine. Things cannot continue as they are. It turns me cold to think of this creature stealing like a thief to Harry's bedside. Poor Harry, what awakening, and the danger of it. For if this Hyde suspects the existence of the wheel, he may grow impatient to inherit. I must put my shoulders to the wheel, if Jekyll will but let me, he added. If Jekyll will only let me. For once more, he saw before his mind's eye, as clear as transparency, the strange clauses of the will. The end of.
Oh, God.
Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, Chapter 3. Dr. Jekyll was quite at ease. Recorded by Sandra London, written by Robert Louis Stevenson. A fortnight later, by excellent good fortune, the doctor gave one of his pleasant dinners to some 5 or 6 old cronies, all intelligent, reputable men, and all judges of good wine. And Mr. Utterson so contrived that he remained behind after the others had departed. This was no new arrangement, but a thing that had befallen many scores of times. Where Utterson was liked, he was liked well. Hosts loved to detain the dry lawyer, when the light-hearted and loose-tongued had already their foot on the threshold. They liked to sit a while in his unobtrusive company, practicing for solitude, sobering their minds in the man's rich silence after the expense and strain of gaiety. To this rule, Dr. Jekyll was no exception, and as he now sat on the opposite side of the fire, a large, well-made, smooth-faced man of 50, with something of a stylish cast, perhaps, but every mark of capacity and kindness, you could see by his looks that he cherished for Mr. Utterson a sincere and warm affection. "I've been wanting to speak to you, Jekyll," began the latter. "You know that will of yours?" A close observer might have gathered that the topic was distasteful, but the doctor carried it off gaily. "My poor Utterson," said he, "you are unfortunate in such a client. I never saw a man so distressed as you were by my will, unless it were that hide-bound pedant Lanyon at what he called my scientific heresies. Oh, I know he's a good fellow. You needn't frown. An excellent fellow, and I always mean to see more of him. But a hide-bound pedant for all that? An ignorant, blatant pedant. I was never more disappointed in any man than Lanyon." "You know I never approved of it," pursued Utterson, ruthlessly disregarding the fresh topic. "My will? Yes, certainly, I know that," said the doctor, a trifle sharply. "You've told me so." "Well, I tell you so again," continued the lawyer. "I've been learning something of young Hyde." The large, handsome face of Dr. Jekyll grew pale to the very lips, and there came a blackness about his eyes. "I do not care to hear any more," said he. "This is a matter I thought we'd agreed to drop." "What I heard was abominable," said Utterson. "You can make no change. You do not understand my position," returned the doctor, with a certain incoherency of manner. "I am painfully situated, Utterson. My position is a very strange one. It is one of those affairs that cannot be mended by talking." "Jekyll," said Utterson, "you know me. I'm a man to be trusted. Make a clean breast of this in confidence, and I make no doubt I can get you out of it." "My good Utterson," said the doctor, "this is very good of you. This is downright good of you, and I cannot find words to take you in. I believe you fully. I would trust you before any man alive. Before myself, if I could make the choice. But indeed, it isn't what you fancy. It is not as bad as that. And just to put your good heart at rest, I will tell you one thing. The moment I choose, I can be rid of Mr. Hyde. I give you my hand upon that. And I thank you again and again. And I will just add one little word, Utterson, that I'm sure you'll take in good part. This is a private matter, and I beg of you to let it sleep." Utterson reflected a little, looking in the fire. "I've no doubt you're perfectly right," he said at last, getting to his feet. "Well, but since we've touched upon this business, and for the last time, I hope," continued the doctor, "there's one point I should like you to understand. I have a very great interest in poor Hyde. I know you've seen him. He told me so. And I fear he was rude, but I do sincerely take a very great interest in that young man. And if I am taken away, Utterson, I wish you to promise me that you would bear with him and get his rights for him. I think you would, if you knew all. And it would be a weight off my mind if you would promise. I can't pretend that I shall ever like him, said the lawyer. I don't ask that, pleaded Jekyll, laying his hand upon the other's arm. I only ask for justice. I only ask you to help him for my sake when I'm no longer here. Utterson heaved an irrepressible sigh. Well, said he, I promise.
Thank you. be a rapper, put that work in, keep on living. Just become it, act as if this your desire. Life already, mount that beast and ride it steady. Mountain peaks of Serengeti, pick a beat as mean as Freddy. So niggas eating spaghetti up in Venice. Fucking women, pause, they pump to get a listen. Niggas feeling only realness, phony gimmicks, don't do digits. Drop the beat and I'm grinding, no fuck boy, not talking about twerking. Serve that word up like it's a service, up all night, the world is a circus. I smoke, I drink, I smoke, I roll, I dab, I need some coke. The sun is about to come back up, bowl a tab and Adderall. Place to see, people to meet, won't stop until I have it all. The studio, the pad, the mall, roll up in the bathroom stall. Niggas getting rich on this shit with Ricky Rick. Next we gotta do the vid, shooting flicks inside the whip. And we focused on this shit like the internet to geeks. Niggas rolling, 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 we ain't slept in weeks, nigga.
Modest, puffin' brolic, swollen pockets, brownie chocolate, made a chronic in the project, never shock, it's all for the thrill. Niggas know, we got pills, wanna chill, kush chronic on the scales, laser beam, like tails, high off the lid, poppin' tip, laughing like kids, single tips, hologram kicks, grab your bitch, poppin' crisp, turn up, 24, kicking the heads off, yo dope, heads know we here for most, use a bit, hit your brakes, getting high, fitting J, city wild out, Colin Blaze, jumping off of crowded days, we popping, y'all play like peepers, hot top face, swag explode, grenades, switch your shades, money machine, and we stay chaining, getting paid. Purple waves, VIP, we lay, bright light, big city, shit craze, party night, fast days, like Kanye, we swerve and sway, hopping planes, same campaigns, kill the world with saucy flames, life is gravy, just a game, never sleep, late night creep, steal away the whack, no names, party, pick up with the cranes, flex on hoes, they call me Bane, in the rain, slipping cane, make it rain, let's do it again.
Yeah, yeah, Swiffer. I ain't go nowhere, nigga. I've been plotting, scheming. Late nights, daydreaming. I see perfection, necessity. Not complicated, I like life just like a symphony. Beautiful music, keep no company if it's misery. Look, no bullshit, and that's your missus. We got history, but man, that's history. It's dirty, but I'm clean.
I smoke, nigga.
I got my lawyer working on some things. She can lose her mind, but she gotta keep her knees. She hit that gas and brought her up to speed. And now we on the same level. I like a bad bitch, might just get your ass in trouble. I turn savage, I get it straight up off the hustle. You know it, I got it going. I heard you talking, now you gotta show it. I'ma do you like I own it. Give it to me like it's mine. You're looking like you want it. Just don't waste my time. I'ma do it how you want it. Give it to me like it's mine. I'ma do you like I own it. We can do this all the time. We can do this all the time.
Play your part, everybody got a role. Slipping light to the night unfold. You're looking like it like the ice in the gold. I can look inside your eyes like no. And I ain't judging that. Still trying to count up 100 stacks, and I see what y'all doing. I had fun with that, little run, but I'm done with that. I'm on new shit. I heard Nick talk, we don't do shit. I had to see my nigga on the news clip. So every chance that I get it getting rich, I might have to turn up on these niggas go stupid.
You look like the type that just deserve better. I see your vision, you a go-getter. I know go-get'em. And for the night, and it might just be for the night. We can do anything that we like, even if it's only for the thrill. Even if we doing that a spite. You're looking like you scratch, you bite. I'ma fuck you right.
I'ma
fuck
you like
I own that motherfucker. Give it to me like it's mine. You're looking like you want it. Just don't waste my time. I'ma do it how you want it. Give it to me like it's mine. I'ma do you like I own it. We can do this all the time. We can do this all the time. We can do this all the time.
Domo arigato. Mr. Land your emotions like a lost spaceship. Those lost lovers equal the space they give. What kind of psycho? Thank you.
that shit that drives me crazy.
And we're back. You're listening to Playtime with Sandra Radio, and I'm your host, Sandra London of LivingGrind.com. The songs you just heard were Tonight by Mercury and the Arch, Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, Chapter 2, written by Robert Louis Stevenson, performed aloud by yours truly, Sandra London of LivingGrind.com. And then you heard Blood from a Stone by Daddy Longlegs, Chapter 3 of Jekyll and Hyde, Chameleon by Shaolin Dub. Oh, what's the other one? Never Sleep by Kyle Young, Follow Me by Frontline, Like You Want It by Swizza Baby, and In Between Moments by Iron Logic. That concludes this evening's broadcast. I hope you're all doing well. I hope you have sweet dreams and a pleasant week, wonderful week, beautiful week, and amazing year. And it's my birthday month. Woohoo! It's not my birthday yet, but it's my birthday month, y'all. Yay! Cheers. Anyways, until next time, good night.
Hello, all you sexy Naked Girls Radio listeners. Have yourself a naked day and make it a naughty night with me, Sandra London, on Playtime with Sandra every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 10 p.m. Central, 11 p.m.
Now that's better, baby. Why don't we sing a song to help pass the time? Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream.
Merrily, 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 life is but a dream.
Merrily, 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 life is
down the stream. Merrily, 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 merrily.
¿En dónde, en cuándo, en cómo llegaré?